Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
It is not Rick Moore. It is Sean McCord, your monthly substitute host here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. And it is my delight to revivify a discussion that I had a year ago with none other than the goddess L.
No, oh, thank you.
We had such a good time. I was actually listening to that show on the way here.
Oh yeah,
a year ago for the weekend before Valentine's.
Yeah,
my guest was Leslie Scott Jones in her earlier incarnation as the goddess L. And we talked romance, we talked relationships, we opened the lines for phone calls. And we didn't get any.
I know. That surprised me. Nobody wants to, you know, nobody wanted to know. Nobody had any questions. So I guess it's everybody's in love, I guess.
Well, okay. But it's a new year.
Yes.
It's a new paradigm.
Oh, my God.
It's a new regime. So let's just talk politics, you and I.
Oh.
We're not.
No.
We're gonna talk romance and relationships, but I do not doubt that a little bit of politics is going to come.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Because we're all there. So we will open up the phone lines for calls. Come on in. Call in.
Yes, ask me a question.
Ask the goddess Ella a question. But let's recap. For about 5 years ago, and for 3 years, you had a online radio advice show.
Exactly.
And by online, just for the kids.
Yeah, it was internet radio. So it was there are several internet radio platforms out there, and a friend of mine who had a station on one of them just called me one day and said, "Hey, I've been doing this thing. I've got music. I've got 3 different music shows, but I need a talk show. You want to do a talk show for me?" I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, why don't you just come and do a talk show for me?" I was like, "Okay." I was like, what do you want it to be about?" He's like, "It can be whatever you want it to be." I was like, "Ooh." See, things that people should never say to me.
Here's a microphone, say what you want.
Right. No, but it was, you know, I did it for 3 years and it was a whole lot of fun. And I think we talked about a lot of interesting topics, and, you know, we had people, I definitely had people call in on that show, cause it was a 2-hour show from 9 to 11 every Wednesday night. And, so, you know, around 10:30 we started getting the crazies and I had to hang up on people, but you know, other than that, but yeah, it was fun.
Oh, do not drunk dial the online advice goddess.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I hit click so fast on people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the show is syndicated. You said it's...
Yeah. And it actually went, it went worldwide about 6 months after I started. So, so the podcasts were being, they were being re-podcast in, Australia. And so that got interesting because, you know, I'm about to go to sleep and it's the next morning in Australia, but somebody's listening to me, you know, that was kind of cool. But yeah, like I said, it was a good time. I had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. So, what did we talked last year about, just who are you to give advice? So I'm not gonna plow that territory again. But what did you learn?
Oh, about relationships, a lot. And I think it's not that I know more than anyone else. I think that I'm willing to say it,
right,
when other people aren't,
right.
And I think that these are things that everyone needs to talk about on a regular basis. And that's a lot of what's wrong with relationships today, is that nobody's willing to talk about anything.
Right. So let's get to that. There's a mouse in the studio. Because when we spoke last year, I think sort of the nugget of this, the heart of your advice was listen to your partner, elevate their needs above your own sometimes, and work together to bring each other up.
Yeah.
And that seems so bloody obvious.
Right.
So what is wrong with us?
I think there are a couple of things why a lot of us can't do that. One, we live and our children are growing up in an age where everything is instantaneous. You know, somebody gives you a name of a group that you've never heard of, and you pick up your phone and you go to Wikipedia and you know it.
Yeah. That kind of takes the fun out of things.
It does. There's no one has to do any work to get a result anymore. And I think, fortunately, relationships are the one thing we still need to work at. It is work every single day. And, I mean, especially if you're living with someone or you're married to someone, I mean, it's literally rolling over every morning and looking at them with their bedhead and their bad breath and being like, yeah, it's still you.
Yeah.
And that's work.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you got your bedhead and bad breath going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they're opening their eyes and looking at you and being like,
and you're what's going.
Right. Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, it's all about embracing those things that you might find maddening about the person you're with.
Well, exactly. You know, I have possibly a habit or two. That my wife does not enjoy as much as the others.
Yes.
And I just shrug my shoulders and I say, well, it's just one of those, you know, quirky little characteristics about me that you love so much.
Yes. Oh, I tell my sweetheart on a regular basis, you love me.
Right. 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 It's good to remind them.
Right.
But you talked about sort of our current sort of technological and plugged in age, and how, and I agree with you. We have become used to just being able to look up any information in an instant. It's kind of a running joke in my family. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we had an encyclopedia set.
Yes.
And I would ask my parents.
I did too.
A resoundingly dumb question, and they'd kind of.
They point to the books. Say, right, yes, go figure it out.
Go figure it out. And now it's kind of a running joke. It's like, oh, man, if only we had these devices that we could carry around with us that could tap into the entirety of human knowledge.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, it's all about what you're willing to do. I mean, let's face it. People will do what they want. You know, people go for what they want. That's just how we're wired. That's how our id is set up. When we want something, we will do whatever we need to do to get it. So, you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you want it, if you want it to work, then you put in the work to make that happen.
But that implies, I mean, that answer implies that there's something wrong with this generation or something wrong with this age. But my parents divorced when I was 13.
Mm-hmm. My parents divorced when I was 19.
There you go. And, you know, like half the kids on my block, you know, the families split up and they had to go through that various thing. I mean, in the 70s, especially.
Well, and that gets into the second thing that I think is wrong with the way we relationship today, is that we don't talk about things when they happen. So if you're in a relationship and somebody and the person you're with hurts your feelings or makes you feel less than or drops some sort of bomb on you, your responsibility is to not only express your displeasure, but it's also to then have the conversation and say, okay, this is how what you did made me feel. And now we need to figure out a way to get past that.
So let me clarify this. So are you saying don't allow those little annoyances to build up inside of you until they fester and boil over?
Yeah,
okay,
don't do that.
I'm writing that down.
I'm sure Sharon is thanking me right now.
Well, she doesn't listen to the show.
Oh!
Ooh.
No, but I mean, I saw it in my parents' marriage. You know, I remember the moment that I knew they were going to get divorced. I was 9. Mm-hmm. And they were having a fight. I don't even remember what the fight was about, but they were screaming at each other. And my dad had just had it and like decided to leave the room. And so he walked into the basement going down the steps. And my mother was so enraged that he had walked out and he wasn't listening to her anymore. She picked up a cast iron frying pan and threw it at him down the steps. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to last. Yeah, it's like, this isn't going to last.
You were 9 and they split up and you were 19.
Uh-huh.
So they had 10 years of throwing kitchen implements at each other.
Well, you know, after that, it almost became worse because neither one of them cared enough to throw anything. You know?
And you care enough to throw the baby.
Right? So, but you know, and I've also learned a lot from my mother's second marriage, which is amazing. I mean, the difference between those two relationships in her life is mind-boggling.
Oh, I'm a big advocate of second marriages.
Right? Right? Because you've done it before. You're like, oh, no, we don't do that because we know where that goes.
Yeah. Exactly. So actually, let me ask this, and this is going to sound facetious, but I think this is an interesting area. Is the goal of a successful relationship marriage?
No.
I asked the single lady.
No. No, it's not. I think a lot of us have been conditioned that yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're talking to a woman who, does not necessarily believe in marriage as an institution, just because of the way it subjugates women to men. Not to mention it's really easy to get into and the party is really fun, but it's hell to get out of.
And you don't think it subjugates men?
It subjugates men in a different way. So it subjugates women in that we are supposed to be, less than your husband, right? There are definitely, things that there's a job description, right, to be a wife, which includes cooking and cleaning and child rearing and, you know, all of that. There's a job description for husband, which is different because it tells him that he has to go out into the world. So it's different. It's a different subjugation. It is subjugation, but it's different. I think it affects us differently also.
So I'm not arguing the point with you, but isn't that kind of an old fashioned view? I mean, isn't
it
that...
is, but that's no matter what incarnation from that your marriage has taken, that's the root of it, right? It's all rooted in that very, you know, 40s and 50s, you know, stay at home mom, you know, with the pearls and the dress and the heels. And,
wait,
you know, that's where it's rooted. for those of us in our generation, mm-hmm. that's where it's rooted. It's rooted in that image, that Donna Reed image, right? And nobody realizes that, yeah, Donna Reed, she had that wonderful show where she was like the perfect wife and mother, but she was badass. Like she produced that show. She wrote for that show. Like she was giving us that image, mm-hmm. but she wasn't following that image. Like she was one of the most badass women in early television.
Jeff, can we say badass on the air?
Sure.
Okay. We just did.
So. We can say badass.
but yeah, that's where that image is rooted. I mean, and, you know, if you're a Southern woman, Jesus, you know, there's layers and layers on top of that, you know, because I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother actually said to me, no, we're the peacemakers. That's our job in the family.
The women.
We are the peacemakers. We are the ones that make everything okay.
And you disagree?
I don't disagree. But that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. You know, that is a lot of responsibility to put on someone. And it means that if you're the peacemaker, you are never allowed to be angry. It means you are never allowed to interject your emotion into any situation, because your job in any situation is to make everybody else feel good. And that's a different subjugation that happens for women that does not happen to men.
What about in relationships that aren't marriages?
People who have long-term relationships that aren't married kind of get away from that, just because it's really funny that, you know, everybody says, oh, it's a piece of paper, it's not going to change anything. It changes everything.
It absolutely does.
It changes absolutely everything.
Yes.
And it changes stuff that you didn't even think would change. Mm-hmm. You know? All of a sudden you're like, why are you putting your socks over here? Yeah.
It's in the contract, baby.
Right? Yeah. But, you know, people who consciously choose to stay together, to build a life together, but not get married, are a little better at navigating this kind of stuff, because it's a conscious decision. You know, they've said, okay, we're not going to do that, but it doesn't mean that I'm not committed to you. And that means they're having conversations that I think a lot of married couples don't have, because they don't have to. It's like, oh, well, we're married. We don't have to talk about it, right? We're good. Like, I've got that cute, pretty piece of papers on the wall, and I got the pictures from the reception. Like, why would I need to talk to you? Psh, forget that.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay. You are free to do so.
that's good to know. I mean, I do not disagree that there's a that marriage makes a difference. It's not just a piece of paper and a stamp of approval from society.
Mm-hmm.
It is a commitment that you make to another person that becomes deeper and even a little scarier.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
And you know, people get married in their 20s. And
they are not the same person when they're 40.
Not the same person.
Yeah. The thing is that takes a lot of intelligence. Like, that takes a lot of emotional intelligence and a lot of being able to let someone grow. You know, to give someone that space to do that. And, you know, over a span of 20 or 40 years, that's hard work.
Speaking of space, we're going to insert a little space into the show right now. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. It is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. This is Sean McCord with my guest, the Goddess L. We're talking relationships and marriage.
Yeah.
And we are going to throw open the phone lines. So if you would like to play the harmonica.
That was me getting an email. Sorry.
It's live radio.
Yeah, I know.
If you would like to call in and talk to the Goddess L or the dumpy guy sitting across from her, we are in the 434 area code in Central Virginia at 284-9470, because this is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. That number again, 284-9470. Where were we?
So we were saying that marriage is a lot of work.
Marriage is a lot of work. People get better at it over time.
If they work it, yeah.
If they work it, that's
you know, it's the old adage, you get good at what you practice.
Right. 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 You do something for 20 years.
Hopefully you're better at it the 20th year than you were the first year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, when we were growing up, I think there was a cultural shift.
Mm-hmm.
And divorce became more acceptable.
Yes.
Being single became more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, being a single parent and never having been married,
yes,
became more acceptable. I don't know what the current statistics are. I remember hearing not that long ago that 50% of marriages end in divorce. Which sounds shocking until you realize that means the other 50% end in death.
Yes. So, you know, choose your poison, as it were.
Exactly. But when you were doing your show,
mm-hmm,
as a goddess L, which was called Girlfriend to Girlfriend?
It was called Girlfriend to Girlfriend.
And a lot of dudes called in.
And I thought that was great because it was nice to know that there were men who actually, like, cared about their, like, you know, wanted to know the female perspective and, you know, they were trying to figure it out. Like, that was really a good thing for me to know.
Well, that's actually an interesting point because we're notoriously bad at asking for advice.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Especially.
About anything.
Or about anything. Especially from women. And it's not because we think you guys don't know what you're talking about, but because as soon as we open up and ask for advice.
That goes back to, you know, the subjugation of men. Like, you guys have been trained that if you're a real man, you don't have to ask any questions. You know everything. You know, you're the man. You're supposed to have all the answers. You're not supposed to have questions.
Have we been trained or are we wired that way?
No, I think you've been trained because there are men that aren't like that. They are few and far between. They are unicorns, but there are men like that and who are completely okay with saying, you know what? I don't know that. Oh, you know that? Cool. Can you teach me? And let me just say, there is possibly nothing more sexy to a woman than being in a relationship with a man like that.
With a man who doesn't know anything.
Who doesn't know anything and who is willing to say, I don't know that. You know, I mean, that's like, oh, wow. Because that then gives the woman equal footing of responsibility in the intellectual life of the relationship. And why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want, like, because to women, the sexiest thing in the world is intelligence. So if you're with somebody who, hold on, I know where you're going. Stop. Close. Okay. So to be with a man who is intelligent enough to realize when he doesn't know something and to go to the person who does have that information, how amazing is that? That is possibly the sexiest thing on the planet.
That sounds like terrible advice.
Why does that sound like terrible advice?
Well, I mean, okay, let me mansplain this to you. No. But I'm going to speak.
I will throw these headphones at you.
I know you will.
Okay.
I'm going to speak. You know. Okay. All right. So. Let's pretend you're not talking to me, a middle-aged guy who's been married...
forever.
Essentially half his life.
Yes.
To
a wonderful woman.
I
love you, Sharon.
Absolutely. Love you, too. She's got to be wonderful if she puts up with me. But you're a younger man, and we're just going to talk about men and women right now.
Okay.
You're a younger man, and you're speaking to your nephew. Your nephew, let's call him Roy.
Okay.
Sorry, is that an old man's name?
Keep going, Sean. Just keep it going.
And he comes to you and he says, Auntie L, I'm smart. I get good grades. I have a decent job. You know, I drive an old car, but I'm able to fill it up with gas. But every time I go out to a bar, I can't get women to talk to me because they always want to talk to the ruffians. But I'm smart and I listen to them. How do I break through that?
You wait. That's what you do. You know, it's
I don't
want
to wait. I haven't had a date in 3 years.
I know, Precious. But you're going to have to wait. If you want a woman of substance, if you want a woman...
You should have said that right up front.
If you are actually looking for a woman that you could possibly spend the rest of your life with, that you could build a life with, if you are a king and you're looking for your queen, mm-hmm. then you wait for her to come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you just want to go out there and hit it and quit it, you know, you can do that. And no one's saying that you can't do both.
Okay, I'm 25 years old. Tell me more about this hit and quit it.
That sounds pretty good to me. Yes, it sounds good to all of us. and there's a time for that. I mean, there's definitely a time in everybody's life where they need to do that. If for no other reason, so that they know what they're doing when they finally do, you know, find that person.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the process we all go through, but I'm, you know, if you're looking for someone to love, that is a different process, you know, and you came to me saying that, you know, that you want someone to love. You're looking for a woman. You're looking for, you know, the one. That's a different process than hit it and quit it. And it's a longer process and possibly a more painful process, you know? And I have told, cousins and nephew, I'm the one that everybody comes to for advice all the time. But yeah. And you know, I have married guys that still to this day call me and they're like, you won't believe it. I'm like, we've been married for like 10 years and I don't know, the spark has gone out of it. And, you know, I'm trying everything I can, but you know, she just doesn't seem interested. She obviously doesn't love me anymore. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are you jumping to that conclusion?
Ooh.
This is a process. You've been in it for 10 years. So obviously you're just getting started, dude. This is the long haul. Like, this means you need to have a series of conversations. This means you need to try and figure out what has changed, because just like men's bodies and reactions change over time, women's bodies change as well. So it could just be that her libido has dropped. And it may have absolutely nothing to do with you and your stuff. I'm just saying. You know? So, and I think a lot of people just aren't up for the process. They just don't want to go through the process. They're afraid of the work.
If you're not afraid of the work, call us at 284-9470. This is 94.7 WPVC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. My guest on the wake-up call is none other than Advice Goddess, the Goddess L. Call us at 284-9470. So we've been talking about men.
Mm.
Talking about, but
one of
but,
my favorite topics.
But let's turn that around.
Okay.
What's your advice for women? And let me make that more specific. You know, I was giving the example of, you know, young guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's all the things that you say he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's serious and he's smart, and the women aren't paying attention to him. Your advice to him was wait.
Yeah.
What is your advice to the young woman who maybe they want to find somebody like that, but they don't know it?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, I have a 21-year-old daughter, so I've been giving this advice a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, 2 years ago, I had possibly the most horrifying but wonderful conversation with my daughter. She called me at 10:30 one night, and Mama had a couple glasses of wine. And she's like, Mom, I have a question. I was like, okay, lay it on me. And she's like, well, like, I like sex. You know, the foreplay part is good, but the rest of it is kind of boring. And as a mother, I was celebrating.
As her, you just stick to foreplay.
Right? I was like, foreplay is good. What's wrong? I don't understand. This is a problem? But then as a woman, I was like, ooh, baby, somebody doing something wrong. And my advice to her was, okay, number one, you are with men who are your age. And she's like, yeah. And I said, okay, they have no idea what they're doing.
Oh, 19?
They have no idea what they're doing. They don't. They are happy that they find the hole. Okay, like that's where their thought process about this.
WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
That's where a 19-year-old man's thought process stops. Okay, I found it. Yay! But I said, you know, so he didn't know what he was doing. And it's not his fault. You know, he's 19. He's not supposed to know what he's doing at 19. And I said, and at 19, you don't really know how your body is supposed to react. You know, so you need to, number one, give him a break and give yourself a break, too. And instead of putting this expectation that it's supposed to be fireworks every single time, how about you use it for what it is, an exploration, you know, the time to find out what you like. What you don't like, you know, what could possibly be fun, you know, use it to figure out what feels good to you and build from there. It's, you know, it's not going to be fireworks every single time. It shouldn't have to be. And I, you know, she's like, she is a mini me. So I wasn't worried about the emotional or intellectual part of it because she's got that. Like nobody, much like me, nobody is going to step to her incorrect. Like, because she will just chop you to pieces. I have over the years felt very sorry for her boyfriends. Very, very sorry.
Because you know what they're going through.
Because I know her. And you know, she's a mini me. I know how I was at 19. Oh my God, I was so mean. I was so mean. I was relentless and ruthless at 19. So yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Well, I don't know if we have enough time for you to personally apologize to all.
To all of them. There isn't enough time. It's a very long list. but, you know, to women, to young women out there, I would say, it's the same advice I would give to guys. If you're looking for somebody forever, you wait. You wait to find them. You have what I call non-negotiables, and you know, you see who fits into it and who doesn't, and you wait for the right person to come along.
But that's so hard.
It is.
I mean, I remember, you know, when you're young, everything is so intense.
Yes.
And everything
is immediate. Everything has to happen right then and there. And yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But also, it's so deep. Now, it only feels deep because you're kind of shallow.
Yes.
I get that now.
Yeah.
But when you're 19 years old, when you're 20 years old, when you've got your first high school relationship, you got your first serious college relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. I got married right out of college, and that survived about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And frankly, that was a stretch.
Yeah.
But because it felt so intense.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you advise a young person? I know how intense that feels, but guess what? It only feels that intense because
you have no life experience, sweetie. Yeah. You're a baby. You're still in diapers. Come on.
But they're not going to listen to that.
Most of them won't.
I mean, obviously, kids are allowed to make mistakes.
And they should. They should.
Except and until
often.
When such mistakes lead to, like, babies.
Well, I mean, one of my mistakes led to a baby. So I can't say that wasn't the most wonderful thing that
kind of opened that door and walked right into it.
You did. Yeah. You did. Yeah. No, I mean, and you know, you asked earlier, you know, how what qualifies me to give advice. Like I've been there. Like I was the 22-year-old in college who was pregnant by a guy who, when I told him I was pregnant, said, "Better get that taken care of," and walked away.
Ouch. Yeah. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about.
So I know, you know, I have been there, and you know, that's why my advice is wait. My advice is work on you. That's my advice. Okay, so you're intelligent, you're a good person, you've got, you know, good job prospects, whatever. Awesome. So what else do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do with your life? Work on that. And if you work on that, the person you're supposed to be with will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
They will come to you.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's what you should continue doing.
Even after you've found them.
That's right.
Yes. Do not. Hold on, let me say it one more time. Do not make another person your entire life. Do not. It's really important to keep your individuality. It's really important to do things without each other.
Yes.
Because guess what? If you do everything together, you won't have anything to talk about when you come home.
That is kind of brilliant and sounds like a good moment. Take a little station identification here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. It is the Sunday morning wake-up call, and if you've been listening, you woke.
Yes! Morning!
On 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, our phone number here in Central Virginia in the 434 area code is 284-9470. Guess what? You call in, we're not going to know who you are. We're not going to know where you are or what you're doing or who you're doing.
Ooh!
So here's your chance to just call in.
Well, unless you tell us.
Ask for some completely solicited, unsolicited advice.
There we go.
And I will promise you that the goddess Al, she knows what she's talking about.
So where were we, Sean?
Oh, man. We were, well, okay. So
yeah, so don't make somebody the center of your life.
Yes.
And it's cool if you have similar interests. You know, it's cool, you know, if you, like me, if you do theater, it's cool that you meet the person doing theater. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That doesn't mean that you have to do every show together. That doesn't mean that you're going to have the same circle of friends. And you shouldn't. Because that's how you give that person space to grow. They need to have experiences that have nothing to do with you so that they can come back and say, hey, this really cool thing happened. I can't wait to tell you about it. Like, because really, if you don't, the only thing you have to talk about for the rest of your lives is the wedding. Like, I mean, do you remember when Uncle Joe did the toast? I do.
Yeah.
Do we know what happened to his pants? No, we don't. Yeah. But, you know, like, you know, after 10 years, you can't talk about that all the time. It has to be, there has to be something else.
Well, you know, it's funny because I guess it was Friday. My wife and I both had events that we wanted to go to. I kind of wanted to go to hers. I wanted to go to mine more. She was willing to go to mine, but she really wanted to do hers more. So we just went.
Yeah.
So she went to do her thing. I went to do my thing. And I showed up and people were like, where is she? Are you flying solo tonight? Is everything okay? Like, no, I mean.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. What is that? I would love to know what that is. Like I have been at parties where my significant other is at the same party, but because we are not attached at the hip, are you guys fighting?
I think the last
time, we're not fighting.
I think the last time you and I were at a party, you and I were talking and we were staring at both of our significant others
across the room.
Across the room, both like making, they were practically making out.
I know, right? Like, they're awful close, aren't they? What's going on over there? But, you know, it's like, no, we're not fighting. We're just individuals.
Yeah. You what now?
Right. You know, yes, there are a lot of things that we enjoy doing together. But it's really okay, you know, if he goes and does something without me. And it's completely okay if I do the same.
I'm going to ask you a question to which I already have an answer.
Okay.
Does being a parent make you a better person in a relationship with another adult?
I think so. Because being a parent, I mean, everybody says, you know, you don't know what love is until you have a kid. But you really don't.
You really don't.
You really don't. Because there are literally two people in the world that I would die for or kill for. And they both came out of me. And I think that puts a different perspective on how you love. Because you realize the full extent of what it could be.
Yeah.
And then you start asking yourself, if you are a curious person, you start asking yourself, oh, so what does that mean when I say I love you? Like, does that mean it has to be that? Does it have to be willing to kill or die for that person? Okay, and if it's not that, then exactly what is it? Like, where is the line? And, you know, sometimes the answer is, yeah, I'd go to the mat for that person. And sometimes it's, no.
That's your fight.
Baby, you got some ish going on. You might want to take care of that.
Here's my totally unsolicited advice for other people. But, you know, from my aged perspective, and this is for men and women, boys and girls, spend your 20s becoming you.
Yes.
Figure out what you want, what's important to you. Trust me, you will look back on your 20s and you'll wince at some of the decisions you made, but it's okay. It's a time to make
That is what it's for.
Once you figure that out, then make room for another person in your life. And make that other person the most important other person in your life. No question about that. But if and when kids come along, the formulation is completely different because that child, those children, they are not the most important other person in your life. They are the most important person.
Yes.
Their needs, their wants are more important than yours.
Yes.
And I can say that, and you can be nodding your head, but until you're there, you don't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's true whether it's your own children,
whether it's stepchildren or
adopted or...
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not doing that, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to realize that once children enter, number one, they're never going away.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That whole 18, moving away, you know, going to college, having their own life. No. My daughter...
You never stop being a parent.
My daughter, you know, she's in her fourth year of college. She calls me more now than she did when she was home for advice, you know. So, you know, it's never going to stop. And that means you then have to figure out how to be a couple with children, which is different. It's a lot different because all of a sudden you're like, okay, so we got the baseball game. We got, you know, gymnastics and somebody's doing a concert and oh yeah, they're having a sleepover. So what? Sex next Sunday round two? Does that work with your schedule? Because that's the only opening I got.
After Scandal.
Right. You know, like, it sounds horrible, but that's, you know, at some point that's what you're going to have to do. Like, you know, because when they're babies, it's like, they're asleep. let's have sex. And then, you know, if you're not comatose at that point, but yeah, I mean, once they start growing up and like doing things and need to be taken places, you know, that's what being in a relationship is going to be. And
so we're talking relationship advice. We're also moving a little bit into parenting advice. And let me tell parents of young kids that it does get better.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I have three kids. When my youngest became 12, suddenly my calendar opened up.
I know, right?
So, because I had spent like 14 years of nothing but work, parent, work, parent, work,
yeah.
work, parent. And I have this, it's not totally original, but I have sort of this three-legged stool philosophy.
Uh-huh.
You need to be a whole person. You need at least three things. So work, parenting, and something else. For a lot of those years, I was just job, going home, being a parent. Job, going home, being a parent.
So you were a bench.
I just had two legs.
You're right.
You need that third leg for balance. For me, and I explored a few things, explored politics, a few other things. For me, that third leg became mm-hmm. theater.
Right.
But, yeah, once my youngest was 12, they didn't need me all the time, 24/7 anymore.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you know, all I have to do is drop you off someplace.
Or wait,
you can walk to...
You'll get yourself home?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you're a young parent and you're struggling with this, enjoy this time right now because you will miss it. And also, I promise you, it'll be over before you know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a dear friend who just had her first baby. He'll be 8 months next week.
And so you're not going to see him for the next 12 years.
And she, you know, she calls me all the time. She's like, he won't stop crying. I don't know. I'm a horrible mother. And I'm like, oh my God, sweetie, calm down. You know, and I have to remember, oh, that's right. It's your first one.
Yeah.
You think everything is a tragedy. Yeah. By the time you get to the second one, it's like, oh, whatever. He's dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's at this point. It's so funny. She's like, I spent the day with her a few days ago. She is changing his onesie, like, whenever anything gets on it. I'm like, sweetie, you're going to spend your entire life doing laundry. What are you doing? I'm like, he's going to be dirty, sweetie. Especially because he's a boy. He's going to be dirty. Like, let him be dirty. It's okay.
I ran into some friends of mine the other day. Probably mutual friends of ours. Were out and about with their three-day-old baby they were out for the first time.
Seriously?
And I was, you know, I was admiring and cooing at her. I said, well, you want to hold her? Well, yeah, sure.
Of course.
She handed it to her. She immediately began crying. And you know what they did? They were cool with it.
Good.
I thought, these are going to be good parents.
Yes.
They didn't freak out. They didn't like, oh my God, hand her back to me. They let me hold their crying baby for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I calmed her down a little bit. And then she wouldn't shut up. Then,
oh, Sean! No, Nicole loves it because apparently I'm the baby whisperer to her son. Like he sees me and he's like, "Ooh, auntie!" You know, like I can get him to sleep when she can't.
We've strayed a little bit from our theme.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We could talk about kids all day.
I know.
But my point being that I think my point was is that. If you figure that out, in relationship with another adult,
right?
I don't want to say it becomes easier, but because it doesn't. But it opens up doors to rooms that you didn't know were there.
Right, and if you were a single parent like I was, and still am, it makes having a relationship with another person a little different because. Especially if that person doesn't have kids, like they have to understand that they are never going to be number one.
Yeah.
They're just never going to, you are never going to hit that status.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't mean I don't love you because I do, but you're just never going to be that. And they have to be okay with it. And they also have to be willing to, embrace being a role model, or at least, you know, in at least my daughter's life, because when, you know, when they were little, I did not, there was dating, but they didn't know about it. Cause that, you know, I just thought that was not their, they didn't need that. Mm. You know, they didn't need to worry about that. But, you know, like I said, my daughter's 21 now and she's in her own relationships and I think she's old enough to handle, you know, seeing mom date.
So the secret's out.
The secret is out. And yeah, so for the past like 4 or 5 years, you know, she's met and gotten to know and is friends and still is friends with people, you know, guys I've dated. And I think that's good. I think that's good for her to see. Not only that, just because you're not seeing someone naked anymore doesn't mean that you can't be friends with them. And number two, to let her know that, okay, just because I'm not talking to them every day doesn't mean that your relationship with them has ended. You know, you can still, you guys are friends. You have interests. There are things that you guys talked about that had nothing to do with me. And that's okay. You can still have those conversations. Feel free. Because if you're doing it right, even when you break up with somebody, it doesn't mean that they are out of your life forever. It just means that the relationship changes. You know, it means that there are certain things that aren't permissible anymore. Right. You know, right. and you have to think about how to rework it. But it doesn't have to mean that they're the most horrible person on the planet and you never want to talk to them again and, ooh, I spit on you and, you know, I'm coming to your funeral in a red dress. It doesn't have to be that. It can actually be, you know what? I absolutely still love you. I'm just not in love with you.
Person no longer in love with me is the goddess L.
I absolutely love you, Sean.
You have 5 more minutes. If you want to call in to the Goddess L, our number is 284-9470 here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. But I love you too, Leslie. but that's actually an interesting area. Boy, talk about something where there is no rule book. The exes.
Yeah.
What do you, you touched on that, but what do you do with the ex? You know, what do you do with the ex? Because especially in a, you know, let's say a small town like Charlottesville.
They're going to see each other.
They're going to see each other.
You're going to see each other.
In the same circle.
They're going to know each other. They're going to work on things together.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I've been in the room with you.
and it's kind of surreal, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? Nobody hates anybody here. Like there was no animosity, you know, we are all friends.
Right.
We are all friends. We all do theater together. There's, you know, nobody did anything to anybody. No, you know, it's not, there's no antagonist thing going on. It's, you know, it's a little uncomfortable every once in a while. But, you know, that's the spice of life. You know, if it's not weird in the room every once in a while, what's the fun in that?
I've been in this town long enough. We've been in this town long enough that we've seen, my wife and I have seen marriages break up.
Yeah. And then they start dating other people. And you're friends with the other people. And you're like, I don't know what to do.
But there's that awkward period. It's like, okay, so, you know, you get those friends and I get these friends.
And I hate that. I hate that. Because, and actually, there were conversations about that when I broke up with my ex.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We both agreed. We're like, that would be stupid.
Yeah.
Like, we have so many friends in common.
Right.
It would be absolutely stupid for us to go completely high school and say, you can't talk to her. She's my friend. You know, that's ridiculous. Like, there are no hurt feelings here. You know, nobody did anything to anybody to make this come about. It's simply us agreeing that we're not going to move forward.
Okay, but that's because you're too mature, emotionally intelligent.
Yeah, how about that?
But sometimes there are hurt feelings.
Sometimes there are hurt feelings. And I think at that point, it's the friend's job, because the two people in the relationship aren't going to do it, because they're too wrapped up in their own BS. Yeah. So, but it's the friend's job to say, you know what? I am going to go out with Johnny for dinner, because, you know, just like I'm having dinner with you because I know you're hurting, I know he's probably hurting too, and he's my friend too. And as long as you're the friend and you set that precedent, what are they going to say? I mean, if they say, you can't be my friend because you're friends with him and I hate you, then you can go, wow, we just regressed to five, yeah, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, can I give you a cookie and a glass of milk, and then would that make it all better? You know,
yes, please.
Grow up. That's what you say. Grow up. Put your big girl pants on, or put your big boy pants on.
We got 2 minutes left. I promised that we'd get to politics. in this time of heightened sort of incivility.
Yes.
How do people navigate? You know, I just discovered that my boyfriend is voted for Trump. For example, just pulling an example out of the air.
Okay, gut reaction. Leave him. Leave him. Oh my God. That's gut reaction. With a little more perspective, you may want to ask, why? Why on earth would you put that waste of skin in? I'm sorry. Let me breathe. No, but I mean, I think that's the biggest question. I mean, I'm sure we all have friends that voted for him, right. and I think that's the biggest question. Why?
But
tell me why.
So sit down and have
the conversation. I need to know why you would put someone in that office that cares nothing about me. That's the question I ask, mm-hmm, as a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question I ask. How can you put someone in that office who you know, you have to know, cares absolutely nothing about me and things that would be detrimental to my life and my children's lives? If you can explain that to me, we'll be good. I haven't gotten a sufficient answer yet.
This is 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I suspect not too many listeners just snapped off their radio in anger, because this is the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Leslie, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to come in and talk to you.
Thank you.
We had some great fun. Leslie, of course, is the co-host of Homegrown.
Yes.
At 10 a.m. Sunday mornings on 94.7 WPVC. I'm Sean McCord, the monthly host of the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC. The progressive voice of Charlottesville.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.